You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702.
Health and wellness.
And this health and wellness is brought to you by BestMed, South Africa's largest self-administered medical scheme. SMS your name to 4425 for a quote. BestMed, personally yours. Standard rates and T's and C's apply. And on our health and wellness feature today, we are discussing snoring. Do you snore? I know it can be bothersome to some people. Nearly half of adults snore, but for some people it can be a chronic problem and sometimes even signaling a serious health condition. So at what point should you be concerned about your snoring or about your partner's snoring? 011-883-0702. You can give me some thoughts on this. Are you snoring? Do you think you've got a problem? Have you established if you've got some serious health condition, some chronic problem? I'd like to hear from you on the WhatsApp line as well on 072-702-1702. Dr. Kevin Rosman is a neurologist and director at the Morningside Sleep Clinic. Dr. Rosman, thank you so much for making time this morning. Good morning.
Morning, Chairman. Nice to be on your show.
So what causes snoring?
Look, snoring is a vibration of the tissues in the upper airway as the air passes. So there's some sort of floppy tissues or narrowing, and that sets up a vibration, and that then causes the noise.
And is it also a symptom of insomnia? I've seen other people try associate the two.
No, not so much insomnia, but of a condition called sleep apnea.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get the two associated with each other. So they can, because they're both very common, you can get people with both conditions. But no, snoring, the insomnia is usually the bed partner because the noise is keeping them awake.
Yeah. So let's talk about when you need to be concerned. How do you know that this is the point where I should be taking this snoring seriously? It's no longer just your normal snoring because you probably had a long night out, having too much to drink, but there could be something behind this.
Okay, so there are a number of things you can consider here. First of all, how are you functioning the next day? If you're tired, and by tired I mean sleepy, then it means that this is an indication of your sleep being interrupted. And the interruption is usually airflow. So that would be number one, waking with a dry mouth, putting on weight, memory problems, reflux or heartburn at night. So that's the individual who's actually snoring. And then the other side of it, of course, as we mentioned, is the bed partner. If you're a couple and the partner who's snoring gets sent off to the garden cottage, then this is going to interrupt the relationships there, and then one has to do something about it. If it's just a little bit of sawing wood, you know, that's probably not serious, but if you have a silence followed by the noise, that usually is an indication that we need to take it more seriously.
Oh, I see. Got a message from a listener who says, Clement and the doctor, my girlfriend snores like crazy, but for some weird reason, I manage to sleep very well when we're sleeping together, but I suffer from insomnia when she is not around. So here's some, so here's someone who can take the snoring, but when there is no snoring, you know, through the partner, then they struggle to sleep. They suffer from insomnia.
Right. Well, that's sort of habit and what you're used to. You know, it's sort of friendly noise next to you, it's like a comfort blanket. You know, there's someone there. But if she's snoring a lot, then of course that is the little red flag that goes up. Because what is actually going on in the upper airway, is it interfering with the quality of her sleep? And is there an issue there? You know, the classical snorer that we all know about and that is a problem is the person with obstructive sleep apnea. And they're typically the obese middle-aged male who snores. But there is a baby sister version where you can get it in young, skinny females who don't snore, or do snore. And so the body shape and the body type doesn't tell you too much. The issue is it interrupting the snorer's sleep and or the bed partner's sleep? And you look at that by what's happening the following day for the bed partner, how are they functioning at night? Are they managing to sleep? And obviously, if they're not because of the noise, then you need to do something about it.
Mm. Can it affect your health?
Yes. You know, you've got to look at the effects of sleep. And the snoring itself as an isolated phenomenon, no. But if it's interrupting your sleep, then you get all the issues associated with lack of sleep or poor quality sleep. And that goes from weight loss to blood pressure to even there's some evidence coming out that it can lead to conditions like dementia. Sleep basically controls everything. So if your sleep is being interrupted for whatever reason, then you are at risk of all sorts of conditions.
Yeah, I'm going to take some questions from our listeners. There are some questions coming through on the WhatsApp line. If you want to call in, 011-883-0702. Let's start with these voice notes.
Hi, Clement. I used to deny that I snore until my wife recorded me with her phone one day and made me listen to that noise in the morning. It's terrible. It's even worse if I had something to drink. It's bad. It's terrible, Clement. I'm even ashamed.
Yeah. Haven't we all denied that we snore until, of course, we listen to that recording? So, yeah, that happens a lot. Here's another voice note.
Good day, Clement. A quick one here. Clement, I wasn't snoring before, but obviously when I started doing weight lifting, I began to develop much bigger and, you know, my body size developed much bigger and I became muscular and I started snoring. What would be the reason for that? Can you please ask the expert there? Thank you. Bye.
All right. Dr. Rosman, is there a link there? Weightlifting,
yes,
becoming bigger? Yeah?
Yes. Interesting one. You see, when you get into a certain stage of sleep, all the muscles become paralyzed except for the breathing muscles and the heart. And the reason for that is that it stops us acting out the dreams, stops us sleepwalking. Now, as you exercise, the size of the neck gets bigger. And we get concerned in a manner when it's above 43 centimeters in size, so in your collar size above 43 or that 17 inches. Because what happens then is when these muscles become paralyzed, it doesn't matter how strong you are, they're not functioning, so they're not going to hold the airway open. So you've then got an effect of the weight on the airway, and that's going to compress the airway and close it off. And then as that pulls, as you get pulled out of that deeper sleep, because now obviously you can't breathe, then the air rushes through and that sets up the vibrations and that makes the noise. So yes, a lot of weightlifters, bodybuilders have a problem with that, and often they need to be on treatment for it. We actually need to sort it out.
Mm. Right, Smith, you're calling us from El Dorado Park. Good morning.
Yes, my son is snoring and he's 3 years old and I don't understand what to do and he struggles to breathe.
What, struggles to breathe while he's snoring and at night? Well, sleeping?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Dr. Rosman?
Okay. Rule number one, children should never snore. A child who's snoring needs attention because it means that there's some sort of blockage, they're not getting quality sleep, and that's when you see issues like learning problems, ADHD, lots of other things.
Mm.
So what we generally do is first of all get them seen by a good ear, nose and throat surgeon. More often than not, we'll have to remove the tonsils because in children, the tonsils are very big and they're going to block up the airway. So you remove the tonsils, you open up the airway, and everything settles down. And only if that doesn't work do we look further and look for other reasons. But that in a child is far and away number one. And yes, it does need attention. You can't leave it.
All right. So, Smith, you may want to take your child in and consider getting some intervention. Thanks for calling with your question, Smith, in El Dorado Park. Another question, Dr. Roseman, on the WhatsApp line is, hi, Clem and the doc. Please ask the doc whether sleeping positions can influence snoring. I've heard that sleeping facing upwards causes snoring.
Yes, absolutely right. Because when you're facing upwards, your jaw and tongue tend to fall back. So that then closes the airway. The airway narrows, air rushing through causes the vibration. The same thing with alcohol. Alcohol is relaxing those muscles, and again, it's going to cause it. Mm. So it's best not to sleep on the back for that reason. Our jaws are actually too small, and so that happens very, very easily. Now, dogs with a snout don't do that. The flat-faced dogs do. So, yeah, the idea is to sleep on your side, rather. Mm. People who sleep on their stomach are generally okay, but you've got to be a little careful if the pillow's pushing your jaw back. Mm. It can also cause the problem. So if you sleep on your stomach, you've just got to make sure that your jaw isn't being pushed back. But yes, back on the back is not the best position.
Oh, yeah, because it causes that. All right, thank you for responding to that, Doc. Let's go to another message here. Someone says, hi, I'm going for a polysomnogram test today. My snoring is really affecting my wife. I wake her up even if she wears earplugs. Does that get to the point, that point, Dr. Rosman, where it's just so bad that even when you're wearing earplugs?
Yep. The record, as far as I know, is of the noise reaching over 120 decibels, which is louder than a vuvuzela. So it's all the sympathy with the bed partner. And the polysomnogram is an overnight test to see actually what's happening, what's the breathing doing, what's your blood oxygen doing, is this affecting your heart, and so on. So, they're very important. And then from there, the doctor will be able to advise you about the best treatment to go on from there. But, yeah, for all those reasons, it has to be sorted out.
Mm, okay. Let's go to Portia in Johannesburg. How's it going, Portia?
Hi, Clement and Sirket. I just want to ask a question. Can the doctor please repeat what he said about snoring and then keeping silent? I have a son who's now 19 years. He's had ENT operation, which was repeated up to 4 times. The last time he did the operation was when he was 14, but he just snored. The first operation, it was a tonsillectomy and adenoids removal, but the snoring doesn't stop, and he snores and then makes silence in between, and then there's a snoring sound, and then the silence is like he holds his breath like for quite a long time before he releases again and starts making the snoring sound. So can the doctor please assist with explaining that and what really needs to be done?
Mm. Yeah, thank you for
the
that.
The operation that he had was the tonsillectomy, adenoids, grommets, and meningectomy. And then he kept repeating the grommets and the meningectomy operation.
All right. Portia, thank you so much for that question. Is there a link, Dr. Rosman, between snoring and sleep apnea?
Yes. 50% of snorers have sleep apnea. And sleep apnea is probably more common than diabetes. So, yeah, big problem. The silence that she's describing is when the airway blocks fully, so there's no air going through. And then that causes a slight arousal. The airway opens, air rushes through, and that's when you get the noise. So removing the tonsils and the adenoids, absolutely the right place to start. But if this is continuing, then it means that that wasn't enough. And unfortunately, in quite a big percentage of people, particularly when they start reaching adulthood, this isn't enough. And that's when you'd want to do an overnight sleep test, a polysomnogram. Now, you can do a home-based test, which is really a screening test, and that will pick up the majority of these cases, so it's quite easy. But in the more subtle ones, if you're not particularly overweight or in a younger person, perhaps you might want to do an in-hospital test, which is more accurate and it looks at things in a different way. But that's where you have to get advice from the doctor about what is the best test going to be. And then depending on that, different treatment will be offered and will be worked out for him. But yes, it does need attention.
Okay. Jason, you're in Boxburg. Hi. Hello, Jason.
Hi, Clement. How are you?
Good, good. How's it going?
Good, thank you. So just a quick question for the doc. My daughter is 9 years old. She snores occasionally. However, for the past 2 to 3 years, she seems to be getting weekly nosebleeds. And of recent, I was concerned, so I took her to an ENT who advised us that we need to cauterize the arteries in her nose because they're too close to the surface of the skin in the nose and rupture easily. And other than that, there's nothing to worry about. But he believes that that's just the cause after a 10-minute examination. So we're trying to understand if that is possible and would doing that solve the nosebleeds.
All right. Thanks for that question, Jason. Doctor?
Okay, two things actually going on here. The first is the snoring. Now, if it's occasional, then I wouldn't be too worried about it. Get her to sleep on the side, and that's pretty much it. The nosebleeds have nothing to do with it. That's, as he was advised, a little blood vessel that's just under the skin, and that the skin sometimes erodes there, and then you get a bleed, and you cauterize the thing. But the one's got pretty much nothing to do with the other.
All right, let's go to the WhatsApp voice notes now.
Hi, Clement and Doctor. Thank you for this interesting topic. What are the treatment options for sleep apnea or excessive snoring?
Thanks for that. Yes, Doctor.
Good question. If you look on the internet, you're going to find four options, basically. The first is weight loss. And we're concerned particularly, as I said before, in a man when they collar the neck size above 43 centimeters, in a woman above 40 centimeters. Now, the problem with weight loss is that the disruption of the sleep actually causes weight gain through various mechanisms. So it becomes exceptionally difficult to lose weight if you have a sleep breathing problem. About 20% of people can cure themselves with that, but the rest, although they'll be better, won't be cured. The next thing I'll talk about is surgery to the soft palate and the tongue. Just taking the tonsils out, trimming back the soft palate has quite a high failure rate. It'll work in some people, but not in everyone. There are more invasive procedures where you can anchor the tongue forward to the chin, make the tongue smaller. But it is surgery, and one is never keen to jump into that route. Then what they talk about is a CPAP machine. That stands for continuous positive airway pressure, which is a little machine that gives you sleep with, and there's a mask over the face, and it gives you air under pressure, ordinary room air, and the idea is to use that to splint the airway open so that it doesn't collapse. Now, when you've got this severely, and particularly in people from 50 and over maybe, they don't mind the fact that this doesn't look particularly attractive at night. But when they feel great the next day, they carry on using it. In a younger person, there's quite a lot of resistance and they may not like to use it. And particularly in the milder cases, we can often get away with a dental device that you wear at night that just pulls the jaw forward. Lots of these on the market. They don't work especially well for the severe cases, but they work quite well for the milder cases, and particularly when there's just snoring. And then if you look on the internet, there are a million other options, but those are the top ones that we would look at. And this has to be individualized, and you'll often combine these things in any particular individual.
Let's play some more voice notes.
Hi, Clement. I have a problem with snoring. I'm overweight. Well, I'm 80 kg and I'm very short. And when I sleep, I do snore. But sometimes I feel like something's going on in my mouth. I get a bit dry. And I notice if I lean my head backwards, I snore more. And sometimes when I'm extremely tired, that night I know I'm going to snore. And my husband, it irritates him. But there was a time when I heard him actually snoring and I actually recorded him and he couldn't believe that he snores like that as well.
Oh, wow. So what, did he become less irritated now knowing that he also snores like that? So where do you start with that, Dr. Rosman? You mentioned weight loss. Is that the first point of departure?
Yeah, that's part of it. Weight gain can cause the apnea, we're talking about, and snoring, but the apnea can also cause weight gain. So it becomes a vicious cycle. So if one can lose weight, then that will, in a good number of cases, help a lot, may not help fully. You know, it reminds me of the story about the guy who said, "No, I know I don't snore because I once stayed up all night and I didn't hear myself snore once." But particularly if there's fatigue during the day, then it does become a major issue. Mm. And then it needs to be properly tested and have a good look at it. One can start with an ear, nose, and throat surgeon. Let them have a look down there because they can peep around the corners and see if there's any major obstruction. But no, it does need some attention, and probably her husband also needs some attention.
Mm.
Good afternoon, Clement. I used to have very serious sleep apnea. It would happen every night, almost averaging 4 times in a night. And I would have nightmares, waking up like somebody's trying to choke me on something. And I can't breathe, as well as snoring while I was sleeping. But since I've started elevating my pillow so that even my upper back, which is the back shoulders, are even on the pillow when I sleep, that became far less sleep apneas, and I don't snore again since I've elevated my pillow. Lucas, Pretoria.
And that's what we were talking about, right, Dr. Rosman, earlier around the positioning of the pillow.
Absolutely. You see, when you pass a certain position on the pillow, then the door will fall forward and open, and that will open up the airway. Now, your caller was mentioning that he was aware of this 4 times a night. Well, it probably was a whole lot more than that, because, in fact, up to 4 times an hour would be considered normal. And we frequently measure people doing this over 100 times an hour. Mm. So it was probably a whole lot more. But the fact that that has helped him, just the postural change, is very, very important. And, that's probably all he needs to do. We often see people who get on their back and we just get the pillow behind the back. And if they roll over onto the side and stay there, then it may go away. So I think the fact that he's found it as easy as that, makes it easy. You can just carry on doing that. Mm. Or if that is a nuisance, then he might need to be looked at and find some other mechanical way of sorting it out for him.
Yeah. Marissa is asking, do men snore more than women? The only ladies I know that snore are overweight or obese.
Yes, men do. 90% of people with apnea, and that's a big cause of snoring, are men. But the other one that I mentioned, which is a partial blockage of the airway, these people may or may not snore, called upper airway resistance syndrome.
Okay.
And they are 50% men, 50% women. So they may or may not snore. So you can get young, skinny women who have a significant problem, but who also snore. And they may need their attention.
Dr. Kevin Rosman, thank you so much for making time, neurologist and director at the Morningside Sleep Clinic.